So you ready for the word? We had a great service this morning. We had a really, really good service this morning. God touched some lives this morning, I believe, in a dynamic, life-changing way. And I believe it's the same today. I'm going to share a message today, which is entitled Finding Rest. Now, I got to share a little bit about this because I really believe this message is for today more than ever because it's been kind of a crazy week in my family, in my life. You know, I went on vacation. I was excited. My wife and I, we celebrated our 26th anniversary. 26 years of amazing bliss for her, you know, to hang out with me. And, you know, she's probably saying 26 years of craziness. And Lord, thank you for the strength to make it through. And she's in the back ministering with her little ones, praying over them. If you have babies back there, all our teachers they're in good hands. And but in the middle of the week, we got a phone call that Bishop Tom passed out and was rushed to the emergency room. I'm like, never fails. I'm on vacation. And so we had gone in, and he had some tests done, and they're like, oh, you're okay, go home. Well, then, a day, not even a day, 24 hours later, get a phone call. He's at dinner, and he slunches over at the table and passes out. And then he comes to, and so they send him back, and it's been a crazy week, and I'm telling you this because I want you to pray for him and anyone else who's sick, but I want to tell you how this is prophetically, a word for prophetically for today. And so late Thursday night, I'm in the emergency room. It's about 12:30, you know, and I'm just like, I'm working on the message. I got a series God's given me that I'm trying to craft to help us to become more outward focused in our walk with God and really make an impact in our community and our neighbors. And Lord's working, and he's, you know, it's time to shock all the non-believers and all those people who have negativity about Jesus. And so I'm working this, and I'm like, God, I'm tired. And I'm whipped. I says, I need some strength. I need just a little touch here, God. And it's late, and I'm like, man, I'm tired, God. And I'm just having this conversation with God. And I sense he says to me, well, if you're tired, what about everybody else? How are they feeling? Because I want you to remind them this week. I want you to remind them what I said in my word. And I'm like, okay. But this whole shock and awe and this whole outward focusing is really good. He's like, no, we're going to just switch it up a little bit. And how do you know when God speaks a word, you don't need to have 25 weeks of preparation in this sense, right? He can speak your word from there to the platform. And if you have spiritual ears to hear what he has to say, man, you're ready to go. You do your preparation. You don't ever take that for granted. It's like with the worship thing. They prepare and do what they need to do, but God can change a song like that, and all of a sudden, whoa. And so he birthed this within me in these few short hours that I had from, you know, that Thursday night to this morning. And so, you know, and it's really because we need rest. Many of us are stressed out. Many of us really feel the pressures of life. And so he wants to share this with you and remind you what his word says. See, I don't know about you, but did you ever feel like everything's just happening so fast and you're caught in a whirlwind? Anyone ever been there? Or you're just really overwhelmed by the demands and the pressures of all of a sudden that seem to be thrusted on you? And you're going, man, I just want to go to the fair and eat popcorn. And all of a sudden, you're like in the emergency room, you know, half the week. And you're like, man, I was trying to talk to my wife because I got this crazy new, as you get older, I never understood this. I used to laugh at everybody. When you get older, everything changes. I got this crazy thing with gluten now where I eat gluten. I get all weird. And I was trying to talk to my wife at the fair on how really fried dough doesn't have gluten in it. And she's like, oh, no, no, no. So I had a pressure, you know, of wanting that thing. And no, I'm only kidding on that one. But how many of you have ever been there? You're overwhelmed. And you just, even to the point where you feel like there's a disconnect or you feel like the excitement that you had for Jesus is kind of waned off and it's bothering you. You ever been there? Well, if you feel in any way, shape, or form that's you, I want to tell you that you're in the right place today. Because God didn't do something supernatural. I totally believe in a supernatural God. I totally believe in a God that heals and restores. I believe in the fullness of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I believe in all that. So let's not get that twisted and we're not seeker. I am not seeker in any way, shape, or form. Spend some time with me. And I believe that today you'll be touched in that way. And so I want to read three verses to you from the book of Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, verse 29, and verse 30. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If you don't, that's fine, because we have it on the screen for you. Jesus said this. No disciples said this. No priest said this. No synagogue person said this. Jesus said this. Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens. Am I speaking to someone in the house today? He went on, he said this. He says, and I will give you rest. He goes on and he declares in the 29th verse, take my yoke upon you and let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Verse 30 says, for my yoke is easy to bear and the burden I give you is light. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the outpouring that will take place in these moments at the end of this service, where lives will be changed and transformed because ears are being opened, hearts are being opened up to receive what you would speak this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and grab a seat. Thank you for standing for the word of God. I know you love and honor and respect it. And so what Jesus is saying here is he's saying, if you are weary, if you are tired, if you are exhausted in strength, if you feel like your endurance is being sucked from you, if you feel like the vigor of life has been ripped from you, if you feel like the freshness and the excitement is no longer there, he's speaking to you. But he's also speaking, if you have that, he's still speaking to you to come to him. Just because you have it, he still wants you to come to him. But we're going to need to deal with the rest part. We talked last week about burnout and overcoming burnout and how the steps needed and how to work some things through that. But if you're weary, if you're feeling that state, or if you're burdened, meaning if you're carrying a load of hardship, or you feel distressed, or you feel weighed down in life because of whatever it may be, he's speaking to you today. And in him is the answer and the solution to what you and I are going through. If you're weary, if you're burdened, he says, come. I have rest. If you're stressed out, come. I have rest. See, because when we go through those feelings, the stress, the emotional up and down, the pressures, what happens is it affects our complete being. It affects us physically. We're tired. It can affect your digestive system. It can affect your behavior. You feel fatigue, a restlessness when you're trying to sleep at night, or even when it's cognitive, when it deals with our mind and our thought processes. What happens is we can become confused at times because we're overwhelmed with what's happening. There's a negativity of an attitude can settle in, or else even there's a difficulty in concentrating and staying focused in on what God's doing. Our mind begins to wander, there's worry, fears, all these things begin to come into place, as well as it affects us emotionally. Apathy, feeling of overwhelmed, irritation. Now listen, the body can handle some stress. The body can handle some pressure. The body can handle that. We're designed, God created us in such a unique way. We're designed to handle some things. But the problem is when we go beyond the breaking point, that's where we are today. Or maybe you're getting to the breaking point. God's like, listen, I have everything you need. So he gives you three invitations. Anyone ever get an invitation to a party? I love a good party, right? I love a good party. You get an invitation, right? Did you ever get an invitation just to the hors d'oeuvres and nothing else? Where it said, hey, come have the beginning part, but when the real party starts, you gotta leave. Anyone ever have that? Or, you know, you're not good enough for the dinners, but you're good for the middle part of the party. But when the ending starts out, you got to go. Or we like you enough to only invite you to the closing part of it. No, when you're invited to the whole complete thing. Because every part of that party or that event you're invited to is important for the event that's happening, right? Whether it's the hors d'oeuvres, to the meal, to the dancing afterwards. I'm talking about a wedding here. To whatever it may be, the whole thing. And this is the same with what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11. Verses 28, 29, and 30. He gives us three important invitations that will change your life forever. He starts off by saying, one, come to me. He's inviting you to come into his presence. He's inviting you to relationship. He's inviting you to connect. Invitation number two is the yoking, which is the connection part of it. We'll talk what a yoke is and how that works. And then the third thing is He, can you pull the 28th verse in? He says, let me teach you. He's inviting you to be taught. He's inviting to sit at his feet so he can instill, impart those things that are needed for everyday life to help you avoid or overcome what may be pulling you down. So, three invitations. Understand this, though. Each one is just as important as the other. And you don't get the fullness if you don't take all three. You don't get the fullness if you don't get all three, right? You get the full experience. You get the full outpouring of what he wants to do. And so what Jesus does, he starts off and he says, listen, he says, if you're tired, if you're exhausted, if you're weary of trying to do things on your own or whatever it may be, if the excitement of life has been sucked out of you, if you're a burden, if you're weighted down with worry and concern, if you're to the point of breaking, what you first need to do is you need to stop going to everybody else. And you got to start coming to me. I'm not your second choice. I'm not your fourth choice after the first three things failed. I am choice number one. It took me a while to learn that, people. It took me a while to learn that. I'm just being real. Because something would happen and I would go here or I would go there. And then when I felt that, then I was like, I fell to my knees. And then you play the, oh, Jesus game. You ever play that before? You tried everything else and finally you realize, what am I doing? See, he's not choice two, three, four, five, or six. He's choice number one. He's saying, come. What he's saying to you is he's saying, progress towards me. Yield to those things or anything else that's trying to pull you or suck you away from my presence and participate in the activity that I want to begin to perform in you, begin to release into you. I want you to begin to take this course of action in your life. See, what he's doing is he's making a plea to those who are trying to live life on their own strength and on their own abilities and failing and hurting and feeling like I can't go another day. He's making a plea to those who have these expectations that have been placed on them by everybody else. Even ourselves, we put these expectations and we're not living up to them, so all of a sudden we feel weighted down. He's saying, come to me and let me lift that load from you. He's speaking to us today. You know, we say this, oh, I understand God's grace and mercy. I understand this. I understand that. And yet we say, does God really love me? We got to come to Jesus. We got to come to Jesus. He's inviting us to experience the rest. He's inviting us to experience his presence. We need to realize that outside of these four walls, and I'm not being negative and I'm speaking truth. What's outside of these four walls cannot give you true spiritual rest and give you the things that you truly need that God has for you in your everyday life. We need to understand that. Now, there's nothing wrong with certain things that will help you, but they could be this the second part, because God will put someone in your path to help you. Oh, he will. He'll make a way. He'll do those things. But it's coming first from God, and then he does this. And we need to understand that. So I got to stop. I got to stop, and I believe if we're honest, we got to all understand that what God has to offer is greater than anything anyone can offer you. We need to understand that in him is the rest that's needed. Physical, emotional, spiritual rest is needed. In him is true, genuine peace. Because when we're in the midst of stress, when we're in the midst of all these things, we need some peace in our life. We need some calm in our lives. And it's found and given in him through Jesus in our lives as the Holy Spirit consumes you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. See, it's in him. We find the authentic happiness. We find true joy. Amen. So we find joy, you know, and there's nothing wrong with vacation. I love vacation. I love going away. And I'm happy about it. But you know what happens when I come back? I don't feel the same way as I did on that Disney ride. Come on, right? Right? Come on, give me an amen. I don't feel the same all of a sudden. Then I come to the realization, man, I spent a lot of money. I'm not as happy as I was going, woohoo, down Space Mountain. I'm like, man, I just hope I can put some gas in my car and get me a Tim Hortons coffee. But Jesus, you know what? He gives us the true joy. That no matter what's going on around us, I'm just so happy because I know who he is and what he can do. I'm okay with what's happening because I know he's in control. See, in him, we really get the true satisfaction in every area of life. He actually says this. He goes, listen, John 14:27. He says, I'm going to leave you a gift, peace of mind and heart. He goes on and says, and the peace that I give is a gift the world cannot give. He says, I'm going to give you what the world can't give you. Now, let's not get it twisted upside down sideways. I love getting some gifts from the world, you know what I'm saying? I love getting birthday gifts and Christmas gifts. That's all great, but I don't find the same joy and the same happiness and the same contentment and the same release of what I need for life in those as I do in Jesus. And so we need to understand that. And then he goes, not only that, when I talk about spiritual rest, he goes, I'm the bread of life, and I will feed you, and I will give you what is needed. So those who are hungry will never be hungry again when you eat from me and you partake of who I am. And he says, and if you're thirsty, I will give you drink, and living water will come from you because it's poured from the throne room of God into us. But listen, this doesn't happen unless we're coming to Jesus, and we're progressing towards him. We're embracing him in his fullness. If you're tired, let me just say this. Stop crawling, stop walking, and start running to Jesus. We run to everything else. When I go to a sporting event or I go somewhere and I want to sit up close at a certain place that I know I don't have to pay extra for, I'm power walking. It's really creepy, but man, I'm there. Yet when I know I need something from Jesus, we do this. Well, I don't. Right? We got to run to him. He says, come. Come. Let me deal. What needs to happen? Let me give you an illustration. There's a man, and this man has a young boy, and this young boy has some disabilities, and he has a hard time with other children and things happening. And one day they went to the park, and because of his disabilities, a lot of times he feels rejected or he's bullied by the other kids that he's trying to play with. And one time he was trying so hard to be able to enter or to mesh in and to be accepted and to be a part of everything that's going on in this playground area. He's trying so hard to please them. He's doing his best, but he comes exhausted. He became super exhausted and tired and sad because it wasn't going the way it was supposed to. And so his dad called him by name, and the boy looked at him, and his dad opened up his arms, and he asked him to come to him. And the boy came to him, and the boy sat down next to him, and his dad hugged him and he kissed him and he gave him a drink of water. And then the boy said, Dad, I'm sad. He says, I'm sad. He says, the other kids won't play with me. And Daddy heard what he said, but Daddy hugged him again. Daddy encouraged him again. And he says, listen, just sit here for a while and just rest. And the boy just rested in Daddy's arms. And then all of a sudden the boy got up and he hugged Daddy again. And after a while, he regained all his energy. He gained all his might. And you know what he did? he went back to the playground to give it another go. That's an illustration of Jesus with us. Amen? That's an example of Jesus. Come. Oh, let me give you what's needed. But then God loves us so much, he doesn't stop at just come to me. He says, yoke with me. Now, yoke is a type of harness that connects a pair of oxen. I don't know if anyone has ever saw that. It's that big wooden thing that kind of goes around their head and they get hooked together and they can't pull apart. And it's connected to them. But metaphorically or symbolically speaking, when it comes to teaching and the rabbis in the word, it's really about being submitted unto the teacher. Metaphorically, symbolically, or however you want to call that symbolism, it's about being submitted and connected to the teacher. Jesus, put that scripture up for me, will you? Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. In other words, don't do life, if this is Jesus wearing the yoke, don't do life here away from me. Come over here and connect into with me and let me be attached to you. Let me be attached to you. And wherever you go, I go. Wherever I lead, you follow. Understand, we can't lead Jesus. We need to stop trying to lead Jesus and stop trying to make Jesus fit our lives and start letting our lives fit what Jesus has called us to be and who to be. And so he's saying, link up, get connected. Now, we can have man-made yokes. Man-made yokes are those of rules and regulations and unrealistic expectations that are placed on us by people, by ourselves. And what happens is we try to live up to these. And even Acts 15, Peter talks about, you know, how this whole religious system was unrealistic to be where we need to be to worship God and to be who God. And we can do that. But what God is really saying to us, he's saying, listen, we need a God-given yoke. We need to be yoked up in covenant relationship with him. That's what he's saying. He's saying, is the relationship true? Is it honest? Is it real? Is there a connection? Or is there a divide? Because he doesn't want a divide. He wants the gap to no longer be there. And he wants us to yoke. And then when we yoke, the burden that you're facing and feeling today, it begins to be dealt with. Begins to be lifted. Begins to be removed. See, when we talk of yoke, we talk of connection, we talk of direction, we talk of cooperation. See, when we talk of yoke, we talk about being with. A yoke is designed for two and not one. And so what we do is we put a yoke on and we walk around and we're like, yeah, Jesus is with me. Really? Because I don't see him in the yoke. I don't see the connection. You ever been there? It's not designed to be, life isn't designed to be alone. We're not designed to do life alone. Start in Genesis. We're not. And as believers, we're not designed and called to live as a Christian lifestyle apart from Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It's not a run down to the altar and Jesus, come to my heart, I love you, forgive me for I have sinned. I believe that you died on the cross, went to the grave, you rose on the third day, you now sit at the right hand of the Father, fill me with the Holy Spirit, and then walk away and never have anything to do with God again. No, 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 no. That's not what it's designed to do. It's designed to be partnered with, connected to, a full connection, an integration of God and me and me and God. Also direction. See, a yoke is used to direct. See, when they're connected, they both go in the same way, in the same direction. A forward motion, moving forward. You can't be yoked with Jesus and go our own way. We can't. It talks of cooperation. See, when two animals are yoked together, I'm not calling you animals. Don't like hit me up on Twitter or anything like, Pastor, call me an animal. No, but when we're... You have no idea. You have no idea. When you're connected to the yoke with Jesus, it's about cooperation. It's working with. It's Jesus working with us in our lives and us working with what he's called us to do. It's cooperating with his work, and we're joined into it, and our lives are going to make an internal impact. And so maybe you feel that heavy load. Maybe you're discouraged or whatever it may be. Let me ask you the question before we go to the last part of the scripture. Are you going to Jesus? And when you get there, are you yoking with him? Because then he says this. He says, what I really want to do is I want to teach you. I want to teach you. I want to teach you about me. I want to teach you about the Father. I want to teach you about the Holy Spirit. I want to teach you about my names and what they represent and what they mean. I want to teach you about my attributes. I want to tell you about the fruit of the Spirit. I want to talk to you about grace and mercy. I want to talk to you about forgiveness. I want to teach you all those things that are needed for you to thrive and to grow and to not feel the way you feel, heavy laden, burned down. Do you ever carry a backpack? No one carries backpack anymore? Well, see, I went to Kingdom Bound, was it last week, 2 weeks ago? So I go to Kingdom Bound, right? And we're in the car and we're getting out, and my wife looks at me and says, so are you going to carry the backpack today? And I'm like, this big one? See, that was subliminal messaging to me. What she really was saying is, I have this sweatshirt, I have these water bottles, and I have this other stuff in case the small umbrella, in case the skies close up and start pouring, that if we have them on your back, we're good to go. And you know what I said? Yes, honey. As you wish. As you wish. As you wish. So I put the backpack on, and I look good in it. It was one of my good backpacks. It was a good backpack. I look good in it, you know, walking through Kingdom Bound, I'm doing my thing. But you know what? As you start to heat up and the humidity sets in and it's raining on and off, you know what happens? All of a sudden, those water bottles and the sweatshirt and all the other junk that your wife packed in the backpack, all of a sudden, you're like feeling heavy. You're feeling like, oh, man, you know? And so maybe that's how we feel in life. You know what God wants to do? He wants to take that backpack off. He wants to carry it with you or for you. But he wants to show you how you don't keep putting it back on every day. He wants to show you that you don't have to wear it and carry all these things. But it starts with coming to and yoking, because then in the process of being in his presence and connected to him, he teaches us. He releases into our lives. And I think, this is just me personally, I think that's one of the biggest problems with people who say they're believers. They don't really know in depth about Jesus. They know the surface, they're eating once a week. I eat more than once a week, people. I'm just telling you that. This doesn't lie. Bought, paid for. Aldi's, Wegmans, Tops, whatever it is. Mighty Taco. Preach that, brother. Someone shout on that one, amen. Food Truck Alley. You know what I'm saying? But here's what happens. We want to eat once a week with Jesus. We want to come for 22.1 seconds of worship, 27.2 seconds of the message, and a 30-second closing prayer, and be like, woohoo, I am full for the week. No, we're not. That's why the backpack keeps being put on us. Because we don't know that when we have a need, that Jesus is my provider. We don't know that when Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, that we can be set free of the infirmity or the sickness or disease. We don't know that it's going to take faith and trust in Jesus and what he says to remove. See, we don't know that because we're eating once a week. So what happens is when we're yoked with him on a daily basis, he begins to reveal through knowledge who he is. And he brings better understanding to us. See, and when we're learning with Jesus, this is what we learn. It's amazing. It's amazing. We actually begin to learn some things like this. I don't know if you've been there, but this is what we begin to learn. We begin to learn that I can be patient in times of distress. I can learn to be humble when needed. I can learn to trust completely with what he says. And I can even learn to begin to trust other people. Just because a few other people in my life did me wrong doesn't mean everybody's going to do me wrong. So therefore, because I understand what trust is, I can begin to trust other people, but I can trust Jesus completely. I learned from him how to love more intensely. I learned to love with an agape type of love, an unconditional love of those around me, in my own family, in my church, in my community. I learned this from him. I learned this from him. Jesus went to his disciples in Matthew chapter 4, and he said this. He says, listen, stop what you're doing. Turn over the boats. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Well, how in the world was he going to make them a fisher of men? He was going to teach them. He was going to show them. He was going to talk parables. He was going to have intimate dinners with them. He was going to pour everything that the Father poured into him into those disciples. And what in the presence of Jesus, they learned. Now, did they have it always right? No. No, read about them, man. They were, at times, they were crazy. They were. And there was a bunch of dudes that, some had some serious issues. But Jesus is like, no, let me teach you what the Father says. Let me help you. And that's what he's saying to us. Let me teach you. Let me teach you how to live and serve unselfishly. Let me teach you how to be an encourager. Let me teach you how to live uncompromised. Let me teach you how to be gentle. Let me teach you how to walk in the Spirit. Let me teach you how to pray for someone. Let me teach you how to release what I gave you to release to somebody else. See, we learn from him, and that's what will help us then in our own lives. We really have to take John 15 to heart, because it talks about the vine and the branches. And Jesus said in that passage that we're to be connected to the main vine. When the main vine connected, we get all that is needed, the nutrients for life. And in the process of receiving, we're learning, we're growing. And so Jesus gave you and I three, worship team, you can come up, gave us three invitations today to remind us of. Because I don't know about you, sometimes when it gets heavy and exhausting, sometimes we focus in on that instead of the word. We focus in on the situation instead of what the solution in Jesus could help us begin to move through. And so he wanted to bring this to remember. So let me show you what it'll be like and the importance of learning and being yoked to Jesus with this last illustration. See, it says, one day a man went to see a farmer who was plowing his field with a team of oxen. And the man noticed that one of the animals was bigger than the other. Quite noticeable, to the point where he asked the farmer, hey, what's the situation? Why is that one so much bigger than that one? And the response of the farmer was kind of interesting to the man. He said, the bigger animal was an older animal that was well-trained, and the smaller one was younger, who was new to the yoke, who didn't understand what was needed to be yoked up fully yet. And the man went on to talk, and he began to get more information. He says, see, the older ox is the best ox. The best thing for you and I is Jesus. End of story. I know we may think it could be our children, our mate, our job, our money, our house. The best thing for you and I is Jesus. Because when he's the best thing, it affects everything else. He says, he's the best ox I've ever had. He knows his way around the field. Come on, somebody. Jesus knows his way around the world, doesn't he? Come on. He goes and says, and the reason I put the younger one with the older one is the more knowledgeable ox can teach the younger one. You see, I've been talking about this all day. Everything we need can be taught and learned from Jesus, can be given to us through him. We need to be connected. We need to be yoked. We need to be coming too. He says, I never put the younger one alone because they would never learn. I would never put him with another younger oxen. By himself, the younger oxen would pull himself to death. The younger one will pull himself to death. In my own strength, in my own power, without Jesus, I'm trying to fix every solution. I'm trying to figure this whole thing out. And what am I doing? I'm burning out. I'm crashing and burning. I'm getting tired. I'm getting weak. I'm getting agitated. I'm getting frustrated. I'm getting angry. I'm fighting with my wife. I'm telling my kids things I would never tell my kids. You see where I'm going with this? Why? Because he's not yoked with the right person or the right thing, the right animal. But together, he learns cooperation. He learns rest. He learns there's rest in the strength of the older oxen. See that? He learns there's actual rest in the older one. There's rest in Jesus today. Let's stand to our feet. Tired, exhausted, feeling like there's no more endurance. The zeal and passion is burning dim and low. Nothing feels fresh anymore. The stress is weighing you down. The hardship that you may be looking at has overwhelmed you. Let me encourage you today. Come to Jesus. Connect with Jesus. Yoke with him. Learn from him. Spend time with him. And you will begin to see a change in those areas, in those situations. You will. You will. I laid everything down at the foot of the cross the other night with my dad. I'm like, you're in control. You have everything in your hands, God. Remove the stress, the worry, the fear, the concern. He's in your hands. I can't do anything about it. Lord, let me not get angry with the nurses. Let me not get upset if something's not happening as fast. And Lord, please keep Bishop Tom under control. Don't let him use the word of telling him how old he is and he can do something, Lord. Please don't. And you know what? I feel like the weight of the world is off my shoulder. Am I praying? Absolutely. Am I believing? Absolutely. Do I care? Absolutely. It's my Father. That's all part of it. But to be burned out and stressed out and sucked, the life being sucked out of me, that's not welcomed. It's not acceptable because of who Jesus is. Now, you stand here today, and you may feel the same way. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come down here real quick, all the prayer team. I'm going to ask you to come down here. I want you to be prayed for real quick right now. If that's you, and I know there's some of you because this word wouldn't have been given to me the other night because I had something else I'm working on. You feel like that's it. Anyone else? Anyone else? I love that last song where we need to build our lives on the foundation of Jesus. This is what we're talking about. Come to me, those who are weary and tired and heavy laden. Come to me. Come to me. Shannon and Jen, part of the prayer team, come down here, please. Come. Scott, slide down, please. Pastor Scott, slide down, please. See these men and women here? These are godly men and women. They're chosen to be here. Not just called out and didn't decide today they're going to be on the prayer team. No, they're here for a specific purpose and reason. Because they are going to believe and yoke with you in faith that Jesus will move. They're going to stand in the gap. I'm going to corporately pray, and then I'm going to release the prayer team to pray with you. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this opportunity, for this time, or this moment in time, God, where you're going to change lives forever. You have been invited to be a part of this service. You've been invited to take control of the service. You have spoken a word, and God, with that word comes release. Your words say, come to you, and we'll find rest. Lord, we're coming to you now with an expectation, a faith, a trust, a belief that we shall find rest in you. Help us to not leave that in this building today, but to take it outside of these four walls in our everyday life. Every morning coming to you, every afternoon coming to you, every night coming to you. yoking with you, learning, growing, moving forward. Father, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. They're going to begin to worship. If you need to be dismissed, you may be dismissed. The picnic, there's information at the Welcome Center. If you want to stay in worship for a while, feel free. Thank you for being here. Give the Lord a hand clap for what he's doing, how he's moving, what he's going to continue to do. And we will see you sometime during the week or at the picnic. God bless you.